Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.
All right, Fried fam, listen up. We got some new information about the brain during burnout, which means that I have to correct something that I have been telling you for years. And if you have heard me at a keynote even very recently, you would have heard me say this differently because I just learned something new about the burned out brain in the past couple of weeks. So here's how it happened. And this is one of the reasons I sometimes love social media, because you can find things, if your algorithm is set up right, you can find things that you want to know. So I follow other burnout professionals on Instagram and on LinkedIn. I'm connected with a lot of other burnout professionals because we learn from each other, and also we share things with each other and share gigs and things like that. So a little while back, a couple of weeks ago, the anti-burnout doctor, who's Dr. Nina, she's an actual doctor, she's on Instagram, and she posted something that stopped me cold, like stopped me in my tracks. She was like, the burnt out brain and PTSD brains and depressive brains do not look the same. And the difference is that the hippocampus does not lose volume during burnout. Folks, I have been saying that the hippocampus loses volume due to chronic stress for years, literal years. And so I looked at this and I went, oh, shoot, I better find out where this research is and see what's going on. Because it always made sense to me, like people lose so much access to their memories, to their wisdom, to their knowledge when they're burnt out. People often feel stupid when they're burnt out. People ask me if they got dumb because of burnout all the time. And it would make sense to me that the hippocampus, which is part of your memory system, your memory center, that if that shrunk, then you would have a harder time accessing things that you know, right? Like, and in chronic stress, the hippocampus does shrink. So it all sort of lined up. It made a lot of sense. But she says the hippocampus doesn't shrink. So I thought, okay, well, I better go dive into the most current research because I clearly missed something. And I found the review that she probably used for this info. It was published in August 2025, which makes me happy because I didn't miss it by that long. Year old research is very, very new research in the medical world. So this review that was published in August 2025 looked at 17 MRI studies, scanned over 1,300 people, and found that the difference between the PTSD and depressive brains, which both have hippocampus centers that shrink, the burned out brain does not have a hippocampus that shrinks. It does not lose volume. It remains mostly intact. And so now, ta-da, we finally have a way with brain scan evidence to say that burnout is decidedly different from these other problems, which is super cool, which maybe means that we will change the definition of burnout from an occupational hazard to a diagnosis at some point, which would be really great. All of the people that were scanned during this study had done the Maslach burnout inventory. So they were clinically burnt out. They were put into a category of people that are burnt out and experience burnout right now. And they found that the hippocampus doesn't shrink, which is, whoa, okay, so that changed. So then I thought, all right, well, what else have they learned about the brain in this study? What else can I learn from reading this? And we're going to learn through it together so that you are as up to date as I am on the burnout neuroscience. So nerds unite. Let's do this. Number one, we have confirmation. Amy G. Dalla, or the amygdala, but I prefer Amy, who is your threat detector. Amy works like sonar in a submarine, and she scans around you 360 degrees all the time and looks for little blips on the screen that say you are in danger, there is a threat, and then that kicks off your stress response. So during burnout, Amy, your alarm system, gets bigger. And this happens more in women than in men, which is wild. And the more, the bigger the size, so the larger Amy grows, the more reactive Amy becomes. So smaller things in your life end up feeling like larger threats, and you kick off your nervous system more frequently, and then you get stuck in this state of chronic stress. We totally know that this happens. We've known that this happens for a long time. This is confirmed in this study. We are really, really happy about that. Your prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that sits right behind your forehead, is supposed to calm Amy down, but it can't because of what happens to it during burnout, which we'll talk about in just a second. The interesting thing that they noted in this study is that the amygdala is also the last thing to recover, even as everything else starts healing. So once that system has grown and is on high alarm, it takes a long time and it is the last thing to calm back down, which makes total sense to me. I remember somebody asking me years ago, when did you know that you weren't burnt out anymore? And I said, I knew I wasn't burnt out anymore when I was no longer afraid of burnout. When I wasn't afraid of being triggered, I wasn't afraid of having a bad day. Every time something went wrong, I didn't think, oh my God, am I burnt out again? Like I wasn't stuck in that cycle. So that feels like an interesting thing to note and be aware of as you're going through your own recovery. So the amygdala gets bigger. That's point number one. Point number two, another confirmation, something we've known for a long time. The prefrontal cortex that I just mentioned sits right behind your forehead. That thins out. So the prefrontal cortex is where decision-making, emotional regulation, and cognitive control, executive function live. Burned-out brains have to work significantly harder during routine tasks than healthy brains to get the same results. So you are burning more fuel for the same task. So you are getting more tired doing the same things you used to do. If you are burnt out, you know exactly what that feels like, and you feel very vindicated right now, which I am happy for. The other thing that the prefrontal cortex, like this area showed us, is that healthy brains learn to sort of dial it down when stress is being repeated so that it doesn't get stuck in a chronic stress cycle. Once the brain reaches burnout, where the amygdala is enlarged, the prefrontal cortex is shrinking, it doesn't do that anymore. It becomes inflexible. The researchers call this a neuroflexibility failure. If you're burnt out, you know exactly what that feels like. The best news about this now is that this is one of the first things to come back with the right interventions, which is really, really cool. So Amy, your amygdala, she grows. Your prefrontal cortex, she shrinks. Amy is the last thing to shrink back down. Your prefrontal cortex is the first thing to grow back up. All right, the next part. Number three, your motivation and reward system in your brains, the caudate and the putamen. These are structures that run your brain's effort/reward calculation. They ask and answer the question, is this thing worth it? Folks, if you have actually experienced burnout and you are listening to this podcast today, you have asked yourself this question and you have decided that absolutely it is not. The effort that you are putting into something does no longer match the reward you are getting out of it. This is another thing that should make you feel so vindicated, seen, heard, understood. because you have asked yourself this question and you have come to the conclusion that the effort is not worth the reward. But your brain is doing that. That's happening on a structural level in your body. When these two parts of your brain shrink, everything feels more expensive to do. The cost of effort goes up and the reward feels flat or gone entirely. This is the neuroscience that explains, I used to love this and now I can't make myself care. You are not broken. It is not a character flaw. It's just a structural change, and structural changes can be rebuilt. Studies show that volume returns to these two parts of the brain after treatment. The next part we're going to talk about is actually super fascinating. So, in addition to all the separate parts of the brain, researchers have said for a long time that it is much more important how these things connect and interact with each other. Most activity in the brain is not like one concrete space in the brain. It's one concrete space that talks to 14 other concrete spaces really quickly through these like super information highways. So healthy brains have these really super high efficient communication highways that connect really distant parts of their brain. And researchers call them rich club networks, which I have so many jokes from that. But during burnout, the connections between different parts of your brain start to break down. So I want you to think about this like there's a really long highway, and along the highway, there's like sinkholes, and they come sort of out of nowhere. They happen in real time. You don't know they're happening. You don't know they're happening. You don't know they're happening. And then there's a sinkhole suddenly and somebody lost a car and you're like, wait, what? How did that happen? So there was a longitudinal study of nurses that showed that that collapse actually happens in real time. So as exhaustion scores on the MBI, on the Maslach Burnout Inventory, went up, the collapse was showing more and more in the communication networks. So this means that your brain stops being able to coordinate between different systems, and it feels like everything falls apart all at once. Like you can't all of a sudden do the same things you used to be able to do. You can't read the email and call the person at the same time because your brain is just like not doing that. That should also be something that makes you feel like, oh my God, I feel so seen. So I knew that different parts of the brain's communication network fragmented. I have read that in the past. But the fact that it happens in real time, that it's like you're just cruising along and then something drops out the bottom, that's new information for me. And it makes so much sense because when you are coming back online and when you are going through burnout recovery, you're like, Kate, I got so far and then I got stuck. Well, yeah, once those things come back online, that can come back up real quickly and you can get driving again. But when things are starting to work again and some of the sinkholes haven't been filled in, of course it feels like you're like stuck and at something, but they do come back and that's really cool. All right, the next part, and I love this so much. Those of you who know me well are going to know that I am very excited about this. So the insula, which is known as your body's translator to you. So it is translating what is happening within your body to you. It is responsible for a neural skill called interoception, which means internal perception or internal sensing. It's how you know what you're feeling inside your body, and it's how you feel what other people are feeling too. So it's how you sense when you have to go to the bathroom, when you're hungry, when you're thirsty, when you're tired, when you're antsy, when you need to move, all of these things. And it also is what helps you feel empathy. During burnout, this part of your brain shrinks. And as it shrinks, your ability to notice your own signals drops. So you don't notice the skipped meal. You don't notice when your heart is racing. You don't notice the moment that you crossed your own boundary. This is fascinating. Additionally, it will blunt your ability to feel empathy, but you might not actually notice it. So there was a piece of research in the study that said burned out nurses showed blunted brain activity in empathy regions when watching others in pain. They didn't actually stop caring, but the machinery for processing the empathy was offline. So they had a high amount of self-reported empathy. They all said that they were empathetic people, but their brains were not showing the empathetic reaction. Listen, I know that you have felt this if you're burnt out. You know that the empathy should be there. You can make it up almost, but you don't care the way that you did before. It's a different reaction. I know exactly what that feels like. The researchers in this study called it the emotional dissonance paradox. And then we get to the hippocampus. This is where I got things wrong. This is where we've got new information. This is your memory center. It does not shrink during burnout. It does not grow during burnout. It mostly just stays intact. It's just fine. So the researchers think that the memory and cognitive problems in burnout are functional, not structural. The hippocampus is totally fine. The systems around the hippocampus are misfiring. And this matters enormously for your recovery. This should be a relief for you, because an intact hippocampus means that your capacity for learning wasn't taken from you, which means you can learn new things, you can apply them, and you can recover. Cool, right? So now that I've said that your brain is broken down and you're like, okay, Kate, well, what do I do to fix it? Here is what the research shows actually fixes the burnt out brain. Number one, the thing that I always promote first is yoga nidra. On this list in this research study, it was mindfulness. Yoga nidra is a type of mindfulness where you lay down and you go through your body and you relax, progressively relax different parts of your body. The same way you would at the end of a yoga class when you lay down and they say, relax your forehead, relax your jaw, relax your shoulders, and you sort of melt into the floor. I like yoga nidra as a subset of the mindfulness category because having that connection with your body and feeling internally the difference between when something is tight to when you choose to release it intentionally, to me, provides a better connection with your insula. But mindfulness alone, are you ready? 8 weeks of mindfulness starts to shrink the amygdala. Super cool, right? Because we said the amygdala is like the last thing to come back to life, but we're saying that in 8 weeks, you can still get it to shrink. So it's not going to take you 15 years. If you do mindfulness practices for 8 weeks, the amygdala will shrink, which is really cool. I've read in some cases that 30 days of yoga nidra can start to shrink the amygdala. The other thing that mindfulness will do is thicken the prefrontal cortex, the part that sits right behind your forehead, and it thickens the insula. Super cool. We're into that. It also helps to rebuild the communication highways, so it will fill in those sinkholes. And after 8 weeks of mindfulness, the effects are still true 6 months later. Cool. So mindfulness is on the list. The next thing on the list, this says exercise. I prefer the word movement because you are so fatigued during burnout that exercise feels like too big a task. But a single workout can shift the amygdala away from threat. So if you have a flight or fight response and you are in this like gotta go mode, and then you actually use your body to fight or flight, then the amygdala calms down because you are doing what it wants you to do. That makes sense, right? This here says that 6 months of aerobic training rebuilds gray matter in the prefrontal cortex. That might be something I think that you do a little bit further down in the burnout recovery zone because you do not have the energy to do aerobic training when you are in the middle of burnout, or in the beginning of burnout recovery. And the mechanism is purely biological. By exercising, you grow more brain tissue, you reduce inflammation, you encourage neurogenesis or the creation of new neurons. Cool. So we have mindfulness, we have exercise or movement, and then we have therapy. So different types of therapy have been shown to have different effects on the brain. Super cool. Cognitive behavioral therapy rebuilt prefrontal cortex gray matter and connectivity, so those highway gains, predicted symptom remission 8 years later. So if you do cognitive behavioral therapy, then 8 years later, you are still going to be symptom-free, potentially, which is really, really cool. And then we have something called ACT, which is acceptance and commitment therapy. So this is, according to, I'm reading this from the internet because I didn't know what this was. ACT is an action-oriented form of psychotherapy and says, rather than trying to change or avoid difficult thoughts and feelings, it teaches you to accept them as natural responses, let go of the struggle, and commit to actions that align with your personal values. I don't know about you folks, but that sounds a lot like coaching to me. And that reverses the brain's fragmentation pattern from burnout. So all of those sinkholes in your highway, this is one of the best ways to reconnect the different parts of your brain to one another. Really cool. Now, those are three big things that can happen, right? Mindfulness, exercise, therapy. We've talked about a lot of other things that you can do on this podcast, but those are the three that were most notable in this particular piece of research. The thing that you need to understand most about your brain on burnout is that the changes that happen are not permanent. The brain that burnout creates is also the brain that can heal after burnout. Your prefrontal cortex can thicken again. The reward system can rebuild. Amy can go back down to her normal size. The networks can be restitched. The sinkholes can be filled. And thankfully, the hippocampus was never damaged in the first place, so it is there ready to support your recovery. Here's what I know about organizations with burnout problems. The people suffering are spending enormous energy blaming themselves for something that is happening in their brain. That self-blame and the judgment from the people around them, because the people around them don't understand that the brain is offline either, is costing organizations performance, retention, and human well-being. I can come in and change that narrative in one single session. If you would like to hire me for a keynote, a workshop, or some advisory work, you will find the link to my website in the show notes. Last but not least for today, Fried Fam. I got a wonderful podcast review a couple of months ago that I want to share with you. It is from Kay Scroggin. It says, when I say that this podcast changed the course of my life, it is not an understatement. I was so burnt out. Then I got coaching from Kate and kept listening to the pod. And I'm in such a better place 7 months later. Folks, getting reviews like this warms my heart like you have no idea and reminds me to keep going and keep getting the information out there and keep supporting you the best ways that I know how. If you would like to support Fried as a bit of gratitude for any support you have gotten from Fried, I would love to see your review on Apple, if you're listening on Apple, because that really, first of all, warms my heart, and second of all, helps us reach all the people that need this information to keep themselves or get themselves healthy and burnout free. All right, Fried Fam. I hope this helped. I'm sure you'll be sharing this one with people because it's always fun to learn this information. Thanks for being with me, and I'll see you next time.